the Great Commission. 7 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
The lapel mic a go, even though we've been having some trouble with it. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
It's working. Oh, yep, there's a little bit of feedback there. I'll just back up. Can you see me all right? I know I'm a little bit vertically challenged as a person, so just as long as you can see me. What a beautiful thing, hey, to see baptisms. It's extraordinary to see people coming to this awareness of who Christ is, his love, his affections, his passion, his zeal for us as people. That's what we saw expressed here. People talking about being swept up into that story of Christ and being passionate about that. And I think for me, to be baptized is to become a disciple. To become a disciple is to follow, to obey the commands of Christ. And to follow and obey the commands of Christ is to do mission, which is what I'm talking about today, but I want to tie them all together for you. And when I say it like that, like a formula, it's a bit dry, isn't it? It's clinical. You're like, "Oh, thanks so much for slapping the life out of me, Dan. That's great." But there's something so much more to it than that, which I want to explore with you today. But I'm going to pray quickly before we get into this, and I want to share from my heart what that means and the journey that I've been on through my Christian faith and how mission became a passion and a concern of mine over many years. So, Lord God, thank you so much for the journey that you put us all on, that we here gathered today, a family from Ermington, from West Ryde Community Church, and we're together in this story, wrapped up in what it means to be a follower of Christ. And I pray, God, that I'd do justice to that message today, and people would hear you in a new way, with some new expression, and that it would burn in people, create more zealousness for who you are and mission in this world, what we're called to, the meaning and the purpose of all this. In Jesus' name we pray. So, interestingly enough, last weekend I was a celebrant for my brother-in-law's wedding. 160 people, not nervous at all. And yet today, I'm more nervous than I was then. I don't know what that is, but I think it's about carrying Christ's word. It's a big responsibility. So, no worries. So I want to talk about the fact that, to me, we're baptized into Christ, right? We heard it from Tim. We go into the water and then we're pulled up from this watery grave into new life. That's the symbolism of that, dying in Christ and being pulled up out of this watery grave into new life. And really, it's an expression of being awakened. And that's what it is to become a follower of Christ, to be awakened, to recognize something new about this world in which we live. After I got baptized, I knew that I was being swept up into something greater than myself. First, I'd found and experienced the passionate and almost overwhelming love of God in Christ. And I think you too have experienced that, this overwhelming love of God in Christ, when we come to know about him. And second, I'd been drawn into this bigger unfolding story of God's kingdom slowly revealing itself in the world. This story actually began right back in the Old Testament, but has been more clearly revealed in the person of Christ. And that's important to realize. John the Baptist, who was actually responsible for leading the way for Jesus to come, preparing the way, if you like, and baptizing all the Jews, calling them, he actually said these words, and we heard it this morning from Tim, repent, which in the Greek actually means change your heart and your mind, for the kingdom of God has come near. And it's come near through the person of Christ. But what does it mean to actually change our heart and mind then? How do we change our heart and mind? Well, it's an act of God. But this is where the second part of the passage read actually holds a lot of value. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. I'd been baptized, you see. We saw two baptisms today with Vicky and Paul. But myself, all of you here needed to be taught in the way of Christ, what it actually means to follow. This to me was the greatest privilege. It's not these commandments and this obedience that is dry. I had found an anchor in an uncertain and unsettling world. And I hope everyone who has been baptized here would have found the same. The anchor wasn't Bible dogma, like these authoritative statements made from the Bible, but the experience of the love of God in Christ. That's what it meant. I had anxiety, I had depression, I was actually suicidal for a long time. A lot of you won't know that about me. And all of that was a result of growing up in a very, very broken family. All around me, I saw brokenness, violence, exploitation, oppression. We all see that, right, from time to time, whether it's in our own life, lives of the people we love, or worldwide. We're seeing it with wars happening overseas now, right? We see it all. It's all there. An anchor in Christ and His love was what I needed to survive. It's what we all need to survive in this world, right? Particularly now with what's going on. But for this anchor to be sturdy in a rapidly changing world, I needed to embody or put on or clothe myself in Christ, in who He was, who He lived to be in the world. And that's exactly what discipleship is. So baptized, becoming a disciple, to clothe ourselves in Christ. As disciples, our greatest witness will be in the form of how well we embody or put on or clothe ourselves in Christ. How well we embody His teaching. To be baptized is actually to be a disciple. To be a disciple is to obey the commands, to clothe ourselves with Christ, and then to do mission. The question is, though, how do we do this? How do we clothe ourselves in Christ? What does obeying His commandments even mean? Well, surprise, surprise, it's actually exactly how Jesus did it. He's provided us with the expression of that. In Matthew 5:17, you hear these words said from Jesus. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So Jesus didn't depart from the law or all of these instructions given to the Jews, or the words the prophets gave to the Jews. He didn't depart from them at all. Some of you will know what that means and pick it up really quickly from your Old Testament stuff. Some of you might need to read. I'm not going to expand on it too much from that point, but just know that He actually fulfilled those things in Himself. How Jesus lived and everything he teaches comes from the law and the prophets. And like the intention of the law and the prophets before him, Jesus was in the business of transforming hearts and minds with the intention of transforming society. That is mission. So this next Bible passage that's been up there for a while, I actually called, the previous one was the Great Commission, right? This is the Great Transformation. So what we heard from the Great Commission was right at the end of Jesus' ministry, right? He's lived his life, he's died, he's resurrected, and then he's come back in appearance to the disciples and he's like, here is your Great Commission. Here is what I'm intending for you. But to actually understand what that means, it's helpful to go back right to the start of Jesus' mission and to understand something of the nature of the law and the prophets. So we see and read this scripture. Amazingly, imagine Jesus rolling back into his own hometown, Nazareth, and he walks into the synagogue. And at that stage, he'd become more and more known, so there's probably a lot of eyes on him at that stage. And he goes up and he takes the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. It's handed to him by one of the assistants. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written these words. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And imagine this moment. All the eyes of those in the synagogue were upon him, this teacher of their times. And he began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. This was significant to Jesus because it is the perfect practical summary of the law and the prophets, from a prophet, from the prophet Isaiah. This is God's mission in the world. And it's important to recognize that Jesus says this scripture is fulfilled in their hearing because he is its very real expression in the flesh. He is its embodiment. Again, he is fulfilling all that the law and prophets had spoken before him. He is their fulfillment and truest expression. And this is what it is to follow his commands, right? To be swept up into this story. What is immediately apparent, though, from this scripture is God's special concern for the vulnerable within the context of his kingdom. If you look at the list of people, who's represented? The poor, the prisoners, the blind, the oppressed, and the indebted. This was important for all of the Jews at the time because they were the subjects of the Roman Empire. With all of the oppression and repression and persecution that brought. So it's significant to them all. It's even more important to those Jews and non-Jews who were especially vulnerable, who we see wrapped up in all of the Gospels, the widowed, the poor, the oppressed, the alien or refugee, people with disabilities and those possessed with evil spirits. Jesus' mission, God's mission, right back from the Old Testament, was primarily to these people. That is mission. That's the thing we're swept up into as churches, as people, as followers. Isn't that beautiful, though? Doesn't that give such meaning and purpose to our lives? Baptism is simply the beginning. Amazing. You're swept up into that. This is where putting on Christ and doing mission come together in their perfect and fullest expression. Our baptism and the awakening it provokes is an invitation to open our mind and hearts to the world out there, beyond the four walls of churches, beyond this infrastructure. It begins in here with the transformation of the heart and mind, and it's propelled out there into our local communities, out into the world, out into all of our society. Because now we bring that message of good news. That's where baptism carries us. This is why our church serves our broader community. This is why we seek to look outside of the walls of this four church. Like towards, you've heard it over the last several months, we've supported Baptist World Aid to give to Ukraine, where war and violence is just ravaging and devastating people's lives. This is the basis of why we do that. We've supported Christian Community Aid in our own local environment, where we were encouraged to provide food to support the vulnerable, especially during COVID, where food was difficult to get, particularly for people who were sick or came down with the virus, right? All of these are expressions of our faith, a robust faith, a faith that's actually transformative and transforming our world and our society. This is mission. So if that's the case, what does it mean practically? This is just a slice of the theology, right? Karen invited me to do this. She's got, you got 2 minutes. Do you reckon you can talk on mission? And I'm like, what? Like, because you've seen even today, this is massive. And even in 10 minutes, I can't do it justice. But the beautiful thing is that we're swept up in the story in such a way that we're always and continually learning. I got baptized back in 2003. However many years have passed between now and then, I'm not good at maths, was a journey for me about what baptism to discipleship, to living, clothing myself in Christ, and then being propelled back out into my society, into my local communities and all that. All of that was the story. And it's exciting. It's an exciting part of our story. So it's the start. It's a journey. Embrace that journey. Be passionate about that journey. So I've got a couple of actions. And the first is this. I think I've got a slide on this for... I didn't do too many slides, but... The first is this, fall more in love with Jesus every day by learning about and internalizing his words and his actions. Saturate yourself in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Get an idea. Hang out with Jesus every day in the Gospels, right? You might read other scriptures and get an understanding of mission from the Old Testament and the apostles and all that, but hang out with Jesus. Get to know him because he's the center of this all anyway. Continually pray to be awakened in your heart and mind to see the world through the eyes of Christ. It's where mission starts. And it's where you're at as well. I can't tell you what to do because we're all in different environments, in different communities, in different spaces. You've got the eyes and the prayers to be able to see that. So I encourage you to do that. Identify opportunities at work, in your community, or globally where you can give something of yourself to support others, especially the vulnerable. This could be through building a relationship, providing financially, by volunteering and praying. The important thing is this, giving up something of yourself. When we're called to give up something of ourselves, and we're called to take the focus off self. Onto what God's doing in the world, his kingdom. Continue tithing to our church and Ermington Church, knowing that we redirect some of your kind contributions to local and global mission. We do that every month. And help work with us to identify worthy causes to support. If you're passionate about something, let's start a conversation. I'm happy to have more conversations about what this theology even is or what it means and what it looks like for each of us. But in all our thinking, there's other points, but that's enough. In all our thinking, we have to remember the final words of Jesus in the Great Commission. Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. This is his promise to us that we are not alone in any of this. It's not about building up our own accolades. It's not about finding, building our own journey to heaven. It's recognizing that he's in us with this to simply love better and more effectively in the world that God and he have created. Amazing, right? Amazing to be told that he's here with us in it, all of it. Even in our own suffering, which will come along. So over the next several weekends, this is Mission Month. This is why I'm here doing this, and we've had baptisms. This is the kickoff to hearing from several different people in our local community about what they're doing in terms of mission, in terms of reaching out to the vulnerable, those who may not have access to social services and legal advice or health services, whatever it may be. We're going to hear from several different people to give you an idea of what's going on in our local community and hopefully globally as well. And you can work out what you can do to support, what you can do to be engaged. And that's why I'm passionate about mission. That's why I'm encouraging us all to be swept up into this passion, because it's a part of that big, amazing story of God working out his kingdom in the world, especially through Jesus Christ, who provides us with his example to do the same. Clothe yourselves with Christ and start to ask him what that means to you. I'm going to quickly pray and then, move on to the next. Lord God, thank you so much for who you are. Jesus, we thank you that baptism isn't the middle or the end, it's the beginning. It's the beginning of our expression of our desire for discipleship, our desire to clothe ourselves with you, and to do mission in this world. We pray that we'd find our place to give expression to that passion of yours, this passion of the kingdom expressed through Jesus Christ. Help us to find you this week. Help us to fall in love with you every day through knowing the Gospels, knowing the story of you transforming our hearts and minds, and transforming society all around us. We give ourselves to you again. We thank you for the baptisms that were done today and the expression of that faith. We pray that we would just love you more and more and follow you today, more than what we did yesterday and the day before that and the day before that. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Thanks, guys.
Dan. I'm wondering if I can have the servers of communion come forward to grab the